From Spark and Anvil and Mindforge, this is Ballast, in Chapter 1 of the Mindforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Down at the edge of the Mindforge Harbor, where the Academy met the water, lived a round, low, heavy-bottomed creature named Ballast. He looked a little like an otter, and a little like a smooth river stone that had decided to grow paws. He was wide at the bottom and calm all the way up. When he sat in a small boat, the boat sat still. Not because the water was still, but because Ballast was so steady that the boat seemed to borrow it from him. "People think my job is to stop the waves," Ballast said, in a low, unhurried voice that came from somewhere near his belly. "It isn't. I can't stop a wave. Nobody can. My job is to keep the boat from tipping while the wave goes by. That's all. That's enough." A young goat named Bram stood on the dock, vibrating with a feeling far too big for him. His ears were back. His breath was high and quick. Something had gone wrong at the Academy. A project? A friend? A moment he couldn't take back. And the feeling had risen up like water over the side. "Make it stop," Bram pleaded. "Make it go away." Ballast shook his round head slowly. "I won't lie to you and say I can," he said. "But climb in. I'll keep us from tipping."
Bram climbed into the little boat, and it rocked hard, once, twice, under the weight of his churning feeling. Water slapped the sides. For a second, it really seemed they might go over. Then Ballast settled, low and heavy, right at the center of the boat. He didn't grab the sides. He didn't paddle frantically. He just lowered, got wider, got heavier, got closer to the water, and the boat, which had been about to tip, steadied around him. "There," he said. "Feel that? The wave's still here. We're still in it. But we're not going over." Bram's breath was still fast. "It's not gone." "No," Ballast agreed, with no apology in it at all. "Big feelings aren't supposed to be gone in a second. That's not a thing that's broken about you. A wave takes the time it takes. Our whole job, you and me, is just to stay upright until it's passed under us."
They sat together in the rocking boat. Ballast did one quiet thing. Over and over. He breathed all the way down, slow, so that Bram could feel the boat sink and rise with him. "You don't have to copy me," Ballast murmured. "But if you want a thing to hold on to the bottom of the boat, the lowest part, the heaviest part. Feel where it sits in the water." Bram pressed his hooves flat against the boards. He felt the boat's low belly resting in the harbor. He felt how it wanted, naturally, to come back to level. How a wide-bottomed boat is built to right itself. "That want to come back to level," Ballast said, as if reading him. "That's already in you. Same as it's in the boat. You don't have to make steadiness. You just have to stop fighting the water long enough to let it find you." Slowly, slowly, Bram's breath began to drop from his throat down into his chest. Not because he ordered it to, because he stopped ordering it to do anything at all.
The wave passed under them. It really did. It lifted the little boat, tilted it, and then set it gently down on the far side. And the water went smooth and ordinary, the way water does once a swell has rolled through. Bram blinked. The enormous feeling that had felt like it would last forever had not vanished exactly, but moved through. It was behind them now, a swell heading off toward the far shore. "It went by," Bram said, amazed. "They always do," said Ballast. That's the part nobody believes while they're in it. The feeling tells you it's permanent. It's very convincing. But it's a wave. And a wave is a thing that's passing, even when it's right on top of you. He gave the smallest smile. We didn't make it leave. We just didn't tip. And not tipping was enough to still be here when it left. Bram looked back at the smooth water where the wave had been. He hadn't fought it. He hadn't won. And somehow that was exactly why he was still upright.
Later, on the dock, Sage came to sit with them, letting their old feet hang over the edge toward the water. He wanted me to make the feeling stop, Ballast told Sage. I told him I couldn't. We just stayed low and let it pass. Sage nodded the way they did when something true had happened. And now, they asked Bram, how does it feel on this side of the wave? Bram searched himself for the answer. The feeling wasn't gone. He could still find its edges if he looked, but it no longer felt like something that would drown him. It felt like weather he had lived through. Steady, Bram said at last, and the words surprised him by being true. Not happy exactly, just steady. Like I found out I'm heavier at the bottom than I thought. Like I won't tip as easily as I was scared I would. He let out a long breath toward the calm water. It feels good to know the boat comes back to level, even after a really big one. Ballast settled lower in the boards, content, a round, steady weight at the center of everything, and let the harbor rock them both as gently as it pleased.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Ballast. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.